Welcome into the program. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Adam Hill as we are live in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino right next to the Sportsbook. We will talk plenty of NFL throughout the remaining 2 hours on the program. In about 5 minutes, exact order of finish in divisions that are available right now. We'll talk about that. We did briefly touch on Calvin Ridley and how much we both like him this year. He's going to get a zillion targets. He's going to have a lot of yards. Matt Ryan's still a very capable quarterback. And at DraftKings, as you look at the odds to lead the league in receiving yards this year, he's actually now the favorite on the board at plus 750. I swear earlier this week I saw him at 10 to 1 at some spot. I cannot find it now unless he is totally gone. Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs, plus 850, both guys. Oof. Jefferson in year two. I mean, well, last year he was so sensational, but already the second guy on the board with Diggs?
Yeah, pretty impressive. And, you know, Diggs' replacement, basically, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
There in that spot, which is fairly interesting. I like Stephon Diggs mostly because, I mean, he is so important to that offense, and he's so good at just getting open, creating space. I mean, you watch... We talk about the breakout of Josh Allen after two horrific years to go and do what he did last year and be so much better. No coincidence that that was Stephon Diggs coming aboard.
Oh, no question.
And doing a lot for him. You watch certain plays where, you know, Josh Allen, of course, made some space, created some time with his feet, but Diggs was able to find ways to get open downfield, which a lot of players in the league cannot. So Stephon Diggs is definitely somebody I look at. But, of course, in these markets, you try to look down a little bit. Listen, I think you're getting a little bit of value on Davante Adams only because there's question marks about Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
I think if you want to take a chance, and we've talked about this in some spots, take a chance at Rodgers not playing and find if there's value. But here, I think you can take a chance and say, hey, listen, if he plays, Davante Adams probably represents good value here.
I would say at 15 to 1.
Maybe I jump on Davante Adams here.
Adam, what would that number be if we knew today right now that Aaron Rodgers definitely was going to be the starter in week one? Would he be the favorite on the board?
I would make him the favorite. I don't know if he would be necessarily, but I think he'd at least be in that single-digit range.
Mm-hmm. So do I. Going down the board a little bit, I mean, DK Metcalf is an absolute freak. And I don't know if I can trust that coaching staff enough to bet on a Seattle Seahawk.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's so important to that passing attack and so vital to what they do. And, you know, if when they're throwing, he's definitely a candidate to be getting it. He's got to be considered, you know, obviously he is one of the favorites. I think he's got to be somebody you consider taking a look at. What does Terry McLaurin do with Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, he is,
we know how good a receiver is. He's a freak athlete. He can do so many different things out on the field. And now all of a sudden we're going to see him, and I think a little bit more of an explosive passing attack, a guy that can get the ball downfield to him. If Fitzpatrick is the quarterback for much of the year.
Yeah.
I think that's worth taking a shot at, potentially.
19-1. I would cross off DJ Moore. I would actually cross off A.J. Brown, and I love A.J. Brown.
I'd cross off Amari Cooper because of all the targets there. And Amari Cooper banged up his ankle yesterday, I saw.
Yeah.
Isn't expected to last, but you never know.
All right, we're going to call an audible. We'll save divisions until later on. MVP chatter up next. I really wanted this guy 20-1. Turns out he's much shorter than that. MVP next.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Major League Baseball, the Cincinnati Reds hosting the St. Louis Cardinals. Cincinnati plus 115 on the run line, while the Cardinals are minus 135 on the money line. The Reds minus 155, St. Louis plus 143. Over-under at Great American Ballpark is at 10. White Sox taking on Milwaukee. Chicago minus 190 on the run line. Brewers plus 165. On the money line, Chicago plus 110. Milwaukee minus 120 with an over-under of 7.5. Atlanta Braves at Philadelphia. Braves minus 170 on the run line. Phillies plus 150. Over-under at Citizens Bank Ballpark is at 7.5. Football season is almost here, and our experts profile every college and pro team with advanced stats, power ratings, and best bets for win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide only $20 and is free with your subscription to VSiN. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm Tony Desiri with your action update.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
Oh.
time to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Welcome into the program. It is Follow the Money here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Adam Hill in for Paulie, who's been out all week, as we are live in downtown Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. We will get into NFL MVP odds, and Circa released their odds yesterday. They took their time putting out the odds. They have probably more players on the board than any book in the country. They have like four different rows of guys. I mean, that'll just tell you. I mean, there's a ton of guys that you can bet on. Before we do that, we did start this hour a couple of minutes ago talking about to lead the league in receiving yards and guys that we would cross off. If you can find Calvin Ridley at 10-1, I think that's worth a bet.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we're crossing him off only because he's the favorite and sure, it's such a short number. But you start to get in that double-digit range. Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be throwing the ball quite a bit. I know Matt Ryan obviously has a rapport with him already.
And, no doubt.
And Julio Jones is out of there. And yeah, they had Pitts, and that's going to take some targets. But Ridley is clearly the number one guy, and he's shown an ability to put up big numbers already.
Again, I would cross off A.J. Brown. I love him. It's nothing against him. I don't know if the full target share will be there for him this year with Julio Jones now playing opposite sides of him. Michael Thomas, the unknown of the quarterback situation in New Orleans. If it's Taysom Hill, I can't do it. Sorry. And DJ Moore, you're still talking about Sam Darnold. And then they added other weapons this year. How many targets does McCaffrey get if he plays a full season? They have other good receivers. DJ Moore's a guy I'm not going to bet at 16-1.
Yeah, if you give me you know, three bets from here, if I'm going one of the favorites, I would probably go Diggs. Further down, we talked about Devontae Adams probably representing some value based on if Rodgers does play the whole year. This number probably represents some uncertainty there. And then down from the bottom, I think Terry McLaurin
makes sense.
Is the guy that makes the most sense to me to at least take a little bit of a flyer on.
Are we making a mistake by not bringing up either Chief?
No, because I feel like, I mean, even though obviously they're more than capable of doing it and putting up massive numbers, they do take a little bit away from each other. If Kelce got hurt, I would say Tyreek Hill is a great bet, or the other way around. Tyreek Hill's out. I just did it, by the way. It's Kelce.
Kelce?
Kelce.
That's demerit number one.
I know. I think I said it twice in a row, too.
Chalk it up. McLaurin's 40-1 now, wow, is okay. What we're getting.
Getting an update on that? Okay, well, I'm in.
40-1, I'm in on yeah, McLaurin.
Absolutely,
sure.
I'm in.
Wow, what a big move that is.
Yeah, I'll take
down
that.
Down to 40-1.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, so I said this before the break that I specifically wanted, I have not made an MVP bet yet. I don't know if I'll have one before the start of the season. Maybe. Maybe. I mean, who am I kidding? I will have multiple, probably.
Several.
But I really wanted, I was waiting for Circa because I thought they might pop Tom Brady at 20-1.
Okay.
They didn't. They put him up at 12-1, and that's kind of in line with where he's at in other books. He's like 10, 12, 14, 16-1 in those numbers. I might make a play on him at 16-1.
You think they'll give him retroactive?
You don't think he can actually earn it this year?
The makeup MVP?
Oh, from many years where he maybe deserved it?
That's possible.
Okay. What's not to like about him this year? If you throw the age number at me, I can just like deflect that like Dikembe Mutombo. What have we seen with that number, right? He's going to be 44 years old for a decline in Tom Brady.
Well, listen, we say this every year. It's fine. At some point, he's going to get hurt and he's going to regress. Like, we know that's going to happen.
But
who knows when it is? I don't know, but I'm not taking the chance that, you know, that this isn't going to be the year. I would say what is working against him in terms of the MVP, the exact opposite of what's working for him. Because I think what's working for him is, yes, he's got everybody back. He's going to be very comfortable in the offense. Second year under Arians is always a massive improvement for quarterbacks. There's a lot working for him. And as we just said, the retroactive possibility of, hey, he may have, you know, if you vote later last year, he's much more likely in the conversation. He's probably missed out on a couple that he deserved. So, yeah, maybe he gets that based on some sentimental reasons, and maybe he's in it. But I think for all those same reasons, what's working against him, age, potential injury, and those things, but also expectation. I mean, he's coming off a Super Bowl win. He's coming off defying everybody's, you know, doubts about him. Everybody just expects him to have a great year again. And so it's really hard to, you know, continue to step up to that level if it's expected to do it.
They have everybody back. He has awesome weapons across the board on offense, right? They are expected to win a ton of games. They're one of the favorites, on the top of the board to win the Super Bowl. You know, it would take, like, to me, he's going to get injured because I don't think the cliff is going to be there for him this year. And, like, Aaron Rodgers had an unbelievable year last year. The year before that, the Green Bay Packers drafted for the future after the season he had 2 years ago, thinking that he was done, right? And he came back at 37 years old and had maybe the best year of his entire career. And I think, like, voters love those kind of... That's, again, it's a narrative, right? Voters have admitted before, like, they get caught up in narratives. And Aaron Rodgers deserved it last year, I would say. But also, like, 37 years old, people kind of like that. Like, he did it one more time at 37. Brady's still doing this at 44. If they win, like, 14 games and he puts up and he meets those numbers, like, what, 4,500 yards... 35 touchdowns, which is entirely possible. Like, he will be in the mix to win the MVP.
Sure. I think that's absolutely warranted. I'll look. And you know, the big names tend to be in the mix and tend to be the ones that go there. So there's a reason to look at, some of those favorites in this mix. I would say we talked about the comeback player of the year, Dak Prescott. If he comes back, if he has the season he was on pace to have last year, he's got to be in the conversation, and if the Cowboys are able to win the division, I think certainly he'll get some talk there. I do believe the Cleveland Browns take a massive step forward. I think they're one of the best teams in the NFL, and if that's the case, it's going to be a lot on Baker Mayfield's shoulders because every other position on the roster I feel very, very good about. I feel only okay about Baker Mayfield. If he steps up and rises to the level of the rest of the roster and they're as good as I think they could be, he's in that conversation. How about this? I think he wouldn't get it just because nobody would want to give him the award because of how bad it would look. Say Deshaun Watson gets a 4-game suspension and he's traded to the Broncos, and the Broncos knock off the Chiefs in the AFC West.
Okay.
Would they still not give it to him because, first of all, he'd miss a few games because I assume he'll miss a few, and they don't want to have to explain why the MVP also could be, you know, paying multi-million dollar settlements. Like, that could be tough.
It's a really good question. My analogy would be at the end of the baseball season this year, will voters...
Could Trevor Bauer get the Cy Young?
Well, no, I'm not going to go that far. Well, he might not even come back.
If he came back and he was the best pitcher, would they give it to him? I don't know that they would.
I don't think that they... I think they'd probably shy away from that.
Sure.
How about Garrett Cole? Like, if his numbers are maybe a little bit better than Rodon's or Lynn's, or they're right on par or whatever, will voters say Garrett Cole's got to have it? Even though he went through that month stretch where he was terrible and he had one of the worst press conferences we've ever seen, and he admitted to cheating without admitting that he cheated, like, will they hold that against him? I think some people might.
Yeah, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that is, again, you're not just, in these kind of situations, you're not just handicapping who's going to have the most successful year, who's going to be on the best team, who's going to have that season. It's, as you said, narrative. It's who would they vote for? Who might they not vote for? Who might they give it to that they've screwed over in the past? Like, I would say, like, I am incredibly high on Lamar Jackson and the Ravens this year as well. I think, I mean, I obviously think the Browns Ravens, you know, battle to the end is going to be awesome to watch. But I think because Lamar Jackson has one, it's going to be really, really tough for him to get another one.
Sure, like, he has to have a similar type year that he had.
No, he has to have a better year, I think.
Maybe. So, obviously, Mahomes is the shortest shot on the board at plus 625 here at Circus Sports. Haven't brought up your guy yet with Buffalo.
He's taking a step back.
Josh Allen is plus, look at this, they're plus 850. I know.
And
Josh
Murray.
Allen.
I like Kyler Murray as a player, too. I'm out on Kyler Murray as
so
potential. I think that's way too short of a number. So I'm out on him. I also think Josh Allen takes a step back. So I'm out on them. And listen, we talked about it before. If any team in the league right now, if you are going to factor any of the vaccination issues into your handicapping this season, and I am on some level, I mean, it's going to be hard to really pinpoint exactly how much to do it. But if you're going to take that into consideration at all, get out of the Bills market. Like, don't bet anybody in the futures market. Don't bet any season win totals over. Don't bet them in the future. If it's going to impact anybody, I think the Bills are the prime candidate. Not just the guys that have been outspoken about not getting it, but, you know, we saw yesterday some sniping back and forth between players on the Bills indirectly. They weren't talking to each other.
Yep.
But we saw, you know, some real kind of heavy shots fired by some players, basically like, hey, if you don't believe science, you're kind of an idiot.
Yep.
And not talking directly to their teammates, but kind of.
I know he's going to see it. I'm not going to tag him right here, but he follows me.
Yeah.
He's going to know what I think about this.
So I'd have some concerns about the Buffalo Bills this year.
Okay, so again, we need to specify here that this is, for the most part, a quarterback award, right? And you basically need to play on a really good team or a team that wins, you know, 10, 11 games in that neighborhood. Now with a 17-game schedule. But that's basically what it has come down to. Again, I made the case last year, if Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards and scored like 20 touchdowns, is 100-1 not a good bet on him? So I bet him at 100-1, and he hit like both those numbers.
Sure.
Basically. And the
problem, which is, it's a really weird scenario too in the NFL, but the fact that they have an Offensive Player of the Year award, it's like...
It's a fallback.
Of course. Of course it is. Shouldn't it be the same
player? A fail-safe, call it whatever you want.
Shouldn't it be the same player every year? Shouldn't the MVP and the Offensive Player of the Year be the same player?
I mean, kind of, right?
But it's not. They use that to give it to a player that's not a quarterback.
Sure. So here, Watson is 30-1. What about the quarterback with the longest odds you could actually make a case for? Let me run down some of these numbers. Could you make a case for Tannehill at 25-1?
Sure. I mean, hey, look at the receiving core that they have now. Potentially, they could put up some big numbers. I mean, obviously, you're going to have a run heavy offense there still, but yeah, Tannehill could be in the mix. They could be, that division's wide open. I think they have a fairly good chance of winning it. Yeah, that could be in the conversation.
Tua, 50-1. That's an absolute hard pass for me.
It's not crazy.
But I think you can find better than 50-1 on him.
Sure, yeah. But I'm saying I'm going his name, not necessarily that number. But yeah, I'm saying that Tua, listen, the Dolphins, again, like the Browns, really, really good at almost every position.
No, they have a lot of good, yeah.
And their question, and I think the coaching staff is really good too. So the real question is, can he take a big step forward? And if he does, listen, if you're going to fade the Bills, like we just talked about, and if that's what you want to do, could the Dolphins be the team that steps up and wins that division? All of a sudden, if the Dolphins win the AFC East, he's got to be talked about.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I think a lot of people are writing him off already. Not for just this year, Adam, like for his career, thinking that the guy can't play a lick.
Sure.
Maybe he can.
Yeah.
I mean, you do need to be patient with guys in their first, second year at quarterback, third year even a lot of times, right? Maybe he does. I cannot find a scenario where I would bet him right now 50-1.
Again, we keep going back to him on almost every point here. But Tua last year, I thought was bad.
He was.
But he was better than Josh Allen was as a rookie.
People forget about that. Josh Allen was horrible.
Yeah, awful.
He was really, really bad.
Awful.
Yeah, and he made a huge step forward last year. I can make a case for Matt Ryan at 50-1.
I think you could too.
There's a path there where they...
I don't know if the team's going to be good enough.
I was going to say, I think there's a path where they could finish in second place in that division. And win... Could they win 10 games? Could that be like the absolute ceiling outlier, kind of, so to speak, for them this year, where he puts together just a monster season and they navigate the schedule to win like 10 games and finish in second place and push for a playoff spot? If so...
It's possible, but is that enough?
It probably won't be.
You kind of have to win.
You know, probably won't be, because other quarterbacks are going to have better numbers and be in a better spot and have like 13 or 14 wins.
I mean, I think you have to look at teams that you think are going to win their division.
Can't make a case for Cam Newton.
Can't you?
I see... Can he throw the ball?
It remains to be seen. But again, what if they win the division?
I can't. I don't know, man. I would much rather bet Tua than Cam Newton.
What if he, try to think of some numbers. What if he throws for 3,000, runs for 1,200, and 12 touchdowns?
It's not happening. It's not happening. Okay. I can't. I mean.
We're trying to make cases here.
If he does and they win 14 games?
Yes, he's winning.
Well, now we're living in a dream world here.
Right, but what I'm saying is, I think what you have to do in this scenario, if you're going to look at quarterbacks with a long shot, find a quarterback that can win the division. I think they have to win the division, especially if they're going to come from down the odds board. So who's going to win a division, and can you then make the case that their quarterback could be the MVP?
Among three quarterbacks that their odds are 60-1 here, each of them, at Circa Sports: Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins.
I mean, I'll go Cousins 1, Hurts 2.
Yeah, because Burrow and the Bengals, I mean,
I think third place is best case scenario, and they probably finish fourth.
Yeah, yeah. I think they can maybe finish third.
And that hurts, too. So, I mean, I don't think the Eagles at least have a wide-open division, so that's possible.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't think Cousins at 60-1 is crazy talk.
No.
Because they can't
win the division.
They can win the division. That team can push for, like the absolute ceiling, 11, 12 wins. And he absolutely... I think Irv Smith is a tight end to absolutely keep your eye on this year, right? He has the weapons. People rip Kirk Cousins. Go back and look at his numbers from pretty much any year. Last year, he was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but again, it's can they win the division? I think they can. I think the door is there for them to do that.
Fitzmagic, 85-1.
It's going to be tough for him to win an MVP, but they can win the division too.
I know they can. That schedule is an absolute bear, though.
If we're going to take McLaurin to lead the league in receiving, Fitzpatrick's going to have to put up some numbers. Let's see if it's Taylor Heineke. Can he win MVP?
Can they go 17-0 with him as the quarterback?
Okay. No, they can't.
Right. We'll read some feedback the show has received up next. Unfortunately, this story is now a problem most of us can relate to. Today from the OddsTrader.com studio at Circa Resort and Casino. Go to the OddsTrader.com. Go to OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info that you need. Again, get live in-game odds and stats. You can compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses all at OddsTrader.com.
Go to Twitter. Go to thetwitter.com and follow me there.
I'm surprised you didn't drop in HTTP
www. our email here is ftm@vsin.com. FTM for follow the money at vsin.com. This is from Brian in Massachusetts. He says, we don't have online gambling. New Hampshire and Rhode Island both do, and I'm about 40 minutes from either one. Today, I saw a bad team total. This goes back a couple of days. I saw a team total that was bad on Team USA in their game versus France in the Rhode Island sports betting app. It was listed at 88.5 minus 115 either way. Every other site had it at the time 94.5 or 95.5. For that big of a margin, I went to Rhode Island and grabbed it. I tried putting my wager in and got the wheel that spins while they ponder your wager. This is what spit back. A damn $1.01. Should have known. I tried probably a dozen times with various amounts over about 20 minutes and got the same worthless offer. I stopped, gassed up, grabbed a coffee for the road, and as I was driving home, I tried one more time for the full $750 I wanted to wager. Bam! Instantly approved bet. Happy I got my bet in, but what in the hell? States need a minimum allowed bet on any listed line, as he pointed out. And he said, feel free to talk about this, obviously. It happens to me all the time in Rhode Island. He said, never in New Hampshire. In parentheses, he put, I love DraftKings.
There you go.
So, but isn't that wild, wacky, weird?
I mean, I've had... It happens less and less now, I'll say. But in the early days of the apps, it was the wild, wild west of just trying to get things approved, trying to get them in. And I think there was still a lot of confusion as to who was approving bets and who was in the offices and doing all those things. But I do feel for the most part it's getting better and better. But as more markets expand, it is a process, I think, all around the country. And at some point, I feel like a lot of this will, as it's gotten better here, I feel it'll get better everywhere as it's more and more established. I do hope you're in the Northeast. Had to be a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, I would imagine. That's where you got to go.
Probably, yeah.
Maybe that was the key. You just needed to get some energy, hit the button a little harder.
Smack it.
Yeah, I think that works.
But how, like that whole process, though, at first, right? Spin. Then it took a $1.01. And then as he tried for like the 30th time, finally it took the whole bet?
Well, it sounds like some time passed too. That sometimes is the key, is like kind of let it settle in and like, you know, I can't answer because I wasn't there. I don't know. I wasn't obviously in the room as they were approving these bets. So we don't know exactly how that went down. And sometimes maybe somebody's on a break that's supposed to be approving the bets. Like you never fully know what's going on there with those situations.
Have I told you the story? You have no idea what I'm about to say. So can you, yes or no, Adam, have I told you this story before? At a book here in town, I recently got their app. They have a huge betting menu. And I really don't follow NASCAR. I don't follow like the truck series races at all. I know some sharp bettors who are phenomenal on the sport. And when I see like they give out some guys that they might like, I will maybe be like, okay, sure. And I do not make serious bets in this world at all. But I found this driver at 100-1 somebody liked. So I tried to get $20 down on the guy at 100-1 just to have some action. I'm not even going to watch the race. I'll see if he won, whatever. 30 seconds. Spin. Rejected the bet. Moved the driver to 7-1.
Oof. Sometimes you're alerting them of a bad number, too.
Yeah, but he was also like 60-1 at other spots, 70-1 at other spots.
It's surprising that it went down that low, obviously.
I mean, that's absolutely criminal.
It is.
And
it's frustrating.
It's $20, folks.
Yeah.
I'm being as transparent as humanly possible here. For those of you who, you know, are betting professionally, and take out this for a second, but if you're trying to get down a couple of dimes on a game or whatever, and this happens to you, and it rejects the bet and takes $9, which is... happened to me as well.
Sure.
That part absolutely sucks.
Did he win?
No, he had no chance.
He's still driving?
Yes, he is. He is.
That's rough.
Still, come on. It should be illegal.
The answer is no, you hadn't done it.
Okay. All right. It's a good one, isn't it? Some MLB coming up next. Offensive numbers are way up over the last month of the season. Funny how that works. Don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get $250 for the match bonus, fastest payouts, and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer is valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. It's also available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21 to play. A couple of... tweets I wanted to read before we get into some Major League Baseball. This we're talking about the yardage prop, who could lead the league in receiving yards. This is from Kyle Williams at Bet on the Game on Twitter. He points out that there are more than 200 targets vacated from the Titans. Brown could easily lead with Julio on the team. If anything, he may help with the double coverage.
That's fair. I mean, it wasn't just Davis that's gone. So
no, sure. But which wide receiver is more likely to get double teamed?
I mean, I think it's Brown.
I would have to say Brown.
Yeah. I think it is. At this stage of their careers, I think it's Brown.
I mean, Julio Jones is one of my favorite NFL players ever for fantasy purposes. I loved him. I mean, I had him like every single year, right? At this point, A.J. Brown is better.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's more dangerous.
Like, I love A.J. Brown. Yeah. Love him. I will be looking for him in a lot of leagues this year.
Well, and I mean, I think it's close. I don't think it's a slam dunk to say that he's better. I do think he's better at this stage for sure, and I think he's more dangerous. So I do think he'll draw the double teams. But you also have to take into consideration that the rapport is already established there with Tannehill, and that's something that they're going to have to work on. And they will. They'll get there. But I think right now you would say that Brown would be the guy that you would rotate your coverage to.
Mm-hmm. This is from Tom on Twitter. Reports out of Steelers camp: Big Ben's arm feels great.
Oh, okay. We'll see.
Sleeper for the yardage prop, Chase Claypool, will lead the team in targets, including downfield opportunities. That's another dude who I absolutely love.
I love him. The inconsistencies, though. And I mean, it's not all his fault. I think it was Roethlisberger as well, and just the offense in general, especially down the stretch last year. I'd be worried about the inconsistency. And sure, Ben's arm feels fine now.
Right.
How's it going to feel in November?
Exactly, and maybe even before that.
I mean, it was non-existent at the end of the year last year, so yeah. I'd be skeptical on that.
Claypool 66-1, from what I'm being told, to lead the league.
I think it's a big ask.
Yeah.
At this point of
yeah.
his career.
I will say, I thought Ben looked actually pretty good. I mean, when he came out and he had that different shirt on the other day, when he's pulling up. What?
We're basing on his arrival. Like,
no,
not him
no.
throwing, just how he's driving up to camp.
Yeah. Remember, because the year that Peyton Manning really slipped, you could see it with your own eyes, like halfway through the season. And that was the year that they eventually lost to the Colts in the playoffs. He came back for one more year and they won the Super Bowl when he just was not himself, but they right. still won because they had a great defense. Like, as we were watching games, and I believe, I'd have to go back and look at the schedule, but October, certainly November, you're like, he doesn't have it anymore. I think there was a game at the Rams that they played. Maybe they were still in St. Louis, and he had nothing on the ball whatsoever. And I think earlier in the year, he looked better than that. But suddenly, you're like, the wheels are coming off right in front of right. our own eyes for Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and I mean, look at the playoff game last year with Roethlisberger. I mean, there were signs already going
yeah.
leading into that. But yes, now his arm's rested. He's had an offseason. He's coming into camp, and I'm sure his arm feels great and looks great.
Sure.
The question is, what toll does the season take on him? And I think that's what has to be answered. And by the way, like, I just think, as much as I like Tomlin and I like the organization and I like a lot about what the Steelers are, I've said repeatedly that I do believe the Browns might have the best organization in all of sports. And if they don't, it might be the Ravens. That's two teams in their division. That's a lot to ask of the Steelers, especially with Roethlisberger at this stage.
The best teams in the sport.
I think best organizations.
Okay. You think the Browns have the best organization now?
I think the Browns are brilliant. I think their front office is absolutely brilliant.
I think what they have absolutely, people are expecting them to come back a little bit. Not all people. I just think they keep going like this.
Well, Stefanski's really good. The front office is good. And you just look at their roster. I mean, we talk about the Broncos and their roster. And the Broncos roster is pretty good all around. It's just the question at quarterback. The Browns are in the same boat. I think they're absolutely have almost no questions all over the field. At every position, they've done a really good job building that roster. And then it's just, how good can Baker Mayfield be? And I think a second year under Stefanski, who I really believe in, and I think Stefanski put him in good positions last year, I think they'll be a little bit even more comfortable with him. And I think, you know, Baker Mayfield being the biggest question mark on a team, I'm okay with that. Like, I don't think Baker Mayfield is, like, elite or top of the league or anything like that. But if that's your biggest question mark, I'm okay with that going into a season.
Get the Chiefs in week one. Right out of the gates.
Big test.
Here you go. Let's play again. And, I mean, I would say this for KC this year. The path coming out of the AFC, not going to be easy. Oh. I mean, because it is the Browns. It's the Ravens. I mean, it's the Bills, as long as, you know, they actually do play all their games, and Allen doesn't slip too much. I think he's going to regress a little bit.
Yeah,
but
so do I. The Dolphins are on the rise.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots are going to be a lot better. And they have quarterback questions to answer as well.
Yeah, I don't want to get tased here, but I think the Chargers can be a player.
Oh boy.
Okay. All right.
Oh boy.
What were they missing last year? They were missing one.
Everybody
thing.
Questions the coaching staff.
Oh, come on. Of course.
I.
Don't say it. Don't say you liked him.
I don't think it was as bad as people think.
Okay. All right. Moving on to Major League Baseball.
And I don't think it's a quick fix.
That is Mike.
That's fair. Also, we did also, I think we mentioned this last week, maybe when you weren't here, but the Justin Herbert numbers are very fascinating.
Yeah, I agree.
In terms of what he was able to do last year. And if you listen to some of the Pro Football Focus guys, who I admittedly am a devotee to a lot of what they do, the numbers where he was really good, the areas that Justin Herbert was really good in, are not numbers that are you know, the same from year to year. It's the numbers that fluctuate. His numbers under pressure last year were the best in the league. In those numbers, it tends to be different guys every year.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't tend to be the same guys every year. So it's not like guys are just good under pressure. It's that you tend to have a good year under pressure. And that doesn't tend to stay the same. So he was like 22nd in the league from a clean pocket. That's not good.
Yeah.
And that does tend to stay the same from year to year. Mm. Again, he's a rookie, so plenty of room to improve. But there's definitely some signs that this is probably going to be a step back for Justin Herbert this
year. I wanted to point this out in Major League Baseball. Deadspin had a good breakdown of the offense over the last month. Hitters are slashing 249, 325, 419 last 30 days. Each of those stats increased at least 10 points from where they were on June 21st. Home runs up, doubles up. Teams are scoring more runs. In 1 month without sticky substances, runs per game across the league skyrocketed from over 4.2 to 4.49. In the last 30 days, teams have been averaging almost 5 runs per game. Mike Palm was on the show with us yesterday. He loves betting unders more than anything, like in all sports. He loves betting like first 5 unders in baseball. He said to us yesterday, I can't do it. I got to get off betting first 5 unders now. Totally different sport than what we had for the first 3 months. Sports better. And VSiN contributor William Hill will join the program coming up next. We'll find out what he likes and how, in terms of betting the games today, and if he is off betting unders in baseball as well. Time to put on your lucky pair of Crocs and channel your inner fortune teller, because your prediction might just make you $10,000 richer. The Crocs Hoops Draft Prediction Challenge is coming, and dare we say, free to play on DraftKings.com. If the odds are in your favor, 10 G's could be yours. Learn more at DraftKings.com/Crocs. Sports better and VSiN contributor William Hill joins the program now. I know that you've been firing on all cylinders with Major League Baseball the entire year, Will, but I mean, how about the bad beats that we had in the sport last night? Late with the Dodgers, what we talked about earlier today. They gave up 4 runs in the ninth. What a terrible call by that home plate umpire, though. That was a strike. Should have ended the game. It did not. And the Yankees, what, gave up 4 runs in the ninth and the tenth combined to the Red Sox to lose?
Yeah, and the Indians were either an out away or a strike away. For the second day in a row, the Rays were down to their last out. I think Choi drew a walk, then a double, then they win it in extra innings. Just some tough beats, man. It takes a tough stomach to bet Major League Baseball, and you gotta be like a cornerback. You got to have a short memory and just bounce back the next day. One thing for the Dodgers, I thought Jansen really got some favorable calls before that check swing. Now, the check swing should have been a strike, but I think it was like the third pitch that was a ball, and he got a generous strike call. So Roberts freaked out, which... I mean, I guess it was a really bad call in the check swing, but before that, he caught a break, I thought. And usually I don't report trades on the show because I'm not a reporter and I'm just making this up, but I'll report this one. Craig Kimbrel to the Dodgers, to me, makes so much sense. I mean, they really need an upgrade at the closer, and, you know, Kimbrel's going to be available. I think that one makes a lot of sense.
100%.
The scary part, though, is I think Roberts is so in love with Jansen, he'll just keep going to him anyway.
God, oh.
It's almost like he's trying to prove a point or be stubborn. And I get it. You gotta get the guy right in order to win this. So you gotta, you know, just you'll punt on a game in July, even though, you know, it's getting to the point where, man, can you imagine a Dodgers Padres wild card game? It's not impossible now. I think we gotta start taking the Giants seriously. Maybe it should have been a while ago we should have taken the Giants seriously, but should be a fun race for these last few spots, especially the National League.
Amazing. The last segment we talked about how runs are up over the last 30 days, right? Funny how that works. No more sticky stuff. All of a sudden, like 5 runs per game being scored by the teams. Mike Palm said yesterday, excuse me, he's basically off betting first 5 unders and game unders just because he can't trust it anymore. But you do like an under today. Tell us why.
Yeah, man, if you're the Mets, you got to be sick to your stomach watching Wheeler, thinking what could have been DeGrom and Wheeler, especially with the Dodgers being down. I mean, you'd probably be the favorite to come out of the National League, you know, if you could just keep DeGrom and Wheeler together. Wheeler's been awesome. I think 152 strikeouts, 28 walks, the hard hit contact, the numbers are just sparkling all the way around. Just an incredible pitcher. And if DeGrom misses more time here, Wheeler could you know, rise up and snatch the Cy Young, perhaps. He's just been incredible. Fried hasn't been as good this year as he was last year. I believe he was undefeated last year. He's been up and down this year. The stuff is still really good. I just think he's had some injuries. So I'm looking for a first 5 under here. If you can get a 4, this to me looks like a 1-1, 2-1 game after 5. I understand about staying away from unders. For me, it's just staying away from the full game under, just because, you know, the bullpens, you know, the no more sticky stuff. The extra inning rule is just death. I mean, that Yankee game almost went over last night. That was 1-0 in the 7th. The Red Sox tie it on an error. It's 3-1 in the ninth, and it almost went over if that just stayed tied one more inning, it would have gone over. It's just, it's such a damning rule if you hit extra innings to have an under. So I'm staying away from them more. I'm just, you know, focusing more on the first five. I think it really isolates your handicap, and you just stay away from the headache that is extra innings.
The we went into break before we had you on, talking a little bit about Justin Herbert and why I'm down on Justin Herbert and the Chargers a little bit.
This is going to be good.
I think you disagree with me, so make your case. Why should we look at, we talked about MVP odds earlier, who should we take a long shot of, maybe a flyer on? You'd like Justin Herbert to maybe make his case this year for MVP.
I noticed Brady was like 20-25 to 1 too. And that team has a really easy schedule. I mean, it's a lot about narrative with these awards. So if that team is able to win 12-13 games, you think of like a 43-year-old quarterback putting up pretty good numbers. Maybe he gets it one last time. But I like Herbert here. I just think, you know, the Chargers left a lot of meat on the bone. I think it was 3 17-point leads they blew last year, 4 11-point leads they blew. Nobody's lost more close games in the last 2 years than the Chargers with Anthony Lynn. Now you get Staley, who's an upgrade, who's a high riser. I mean, this guy was coaching at D2 football just a few years ago. And now he's coaching the Chargers. Did a really good job with the Rams last year. And look, if you get him in the playoffs, you can win 11 or 12 games. If Herbert can put up similar stats this year as he did last year, we've seen the second-year quarterbacks win it a lot in recent years. Mahomes won it in his second year. Lamar won it in his second year. Wentz was about to win it in his second year before he got hurt. So, you know, Herbert's going to be a hot ticket. The Chargers are going to be a hot ticket, but I think rightfully so. I like the coach too, for coach of the year. You can get him at like 10-12 to 1. I just think he's very similar to Stefanski last year. He was a younger guy. He's analytically sound, so the media likes that, and just be a good story. And like we've seen, the story is oftentimes a big part of who wins these awards.
Sure. And when we were going through MVP odds earlier and trying to pinpoint, you know, some guys to take a shot on, one of the things we talked about is you kind of have to find a team that has a chance to win the division, because that seems to be maybe the key. If you can find a team that wins the division, maybe even unexpectedly wins the division, that's a quarterback that you want to be on for MVP. Can the Chargers beat the Chiefs, or do they not have to?
No, maybe get a little leeway just because the Chiefs are so good. And if you win 11 or 12 games and the Chiefs win 14, you get a break and you give it to Herbert. Another thing to mention too is voter fatigue is real. I mean, we saw it. And we see it all the time. LeBron's only won the MVP a few times. You know, Trout's only won the MVP a few times. I think it was Lamar Jackson who won the Heisman in 2016. Basically put up the same years the next year in 2017 and didn't come close to winning the award. It just, guys get tired of voting for the same team. They look for a new story, a good story. So maybe you get a little leeway with there with Herbert. Maybe, you know, Mahomes misses, you know, a few weeks. We've seen him get some bumps and bruises, sure, too. He runs a lot. So not impossible the Chargers steal the division, but I think it is a good point that you make.
Your coach of the year bet that you like is correlated with Herbert and making another big jump like in year number two, and saying that the biggest problem on the Chargers last year and over the years was Anthony Lynn, but you're on Staley to win the coach of the year this year?
Yeah, I just think that you can really narrow this down, because it's really hard to win this award if you made the playoffs last year.
Staley, so by the way. Usually, did I say Staley?
Yeah.
Sorry, I meant Staley. Yep.
Wait, let it slide. It's no big deal. It's hard to win this award if you made the playoffs last year. So you can cross some of these guys off pretty much. I mean, Stefanski, I had him last year. I think we were texting back
about
him last year. Yeah. He's not going to win this award again. It's just hard to win it again. You could cross off, you know, Andy Reid, you know, maybe Shanahan wins it. But if you're in the playoffs last year, it's just hard, because it's about a team that comes out of nowhere. It's about a story. It's about a team that overachieves. So you can cross off a handful of guys right off the bat. I mean, so I like Staley here. I just think they've lost so many close games the last couple of years. And if you clean those up, you turn those around, I think the story of Staley is a good one too. I believe he's a cancer survivor. Like we said, he came out of nowhere. I mean, this guy was basically a volunteer coach a few years ago. Then he was coaching D2, and all of a sudden, you know, the defensive coordinator for the Rams, now the head coach of the Chargers. So that's a pretty good story. I also think Urban Meyer at 20-1. Now, you have to make the playoffs, but, man, that division, you get a couple of free wins maybe with the Texans. Maybe they sneak in as the last wild card, that seventh wild card spot, that seventh seed. And maybe Urban Meyer's worth a shot at 20-1, but I do like Staley.
We talked about our disagreement a little bit on the Chargers. Let's go with one that we maybe agree on. Mitch and I were talking up the Vikings a little bit. Sounds like you may be with us on that.
Yeah, I think a lot went wrong for them last year. Now, they're a team that's they have a very advantageous home field advantage, and they obviously had no fans last year. Usually when they're good, they're 6-2, 7-1, maybe even 8-0 at home. They had no home field advantage last year. They let a few games get away. Now, you could do this with every NFL team, but they really had three games that they just gave away. The Titans, the Cowboys, that Seahawks game on Sunday night, if you guys remember, which was just a horrible loss. And, you know, I think they had a lot of injuries. You know, Hunter got hurt, one of the better defensive players in the league. Pierce opted out. Barr missed basically the whole year. Kendricks missed a month. And those are all front seven guys. They really got bullied up front. And Zimmer's an old school defensive guy. I just don't think his team's going to get bullied 2 years in a row. I think he's going to make it a point to be tougher up front, better against the run. They get Pierce back. They get Hunter back. They signed Tomlinson from New York, so they'll be better against the run. And look, they had 15 rookies last year, and last year was a bad year to have rookies. No training camps, no OTAs. They had two rookie corners. They got them some experience, so I think they'll be better. Now, look, if you're looking for a future with them, I buy it. I think it's probably a good price. I'm just warning you, the quarterback will kill them at some point. The kicker will probably kill them at some point. You're signing up for heartbreak because it's just kind of a cursed franchise. And I don't think Cousins can win 3-4 playoff games, but should be a good team, should bounce back. And they've been every other year under Zimmer. You know, they have a really good year and they take a step back. Yep. And that's kind of been their pattern. So I expect that to continue.
Are you high on the Eagles this year and Jalen Hurts, you know, going to be the week one starter, although there were rumors again last night they're trying to trade for Deshaun Watson. So who knows what they really think about the guy, or do you think it goes the other way and the team's going to be bad again this year?
Well, if they traded for Watson, that would hurt my under seven, assuming he played a bunch of games. Uh-huh. But I just think the schedule really, really is tough for Philly. If you look at it, at the Falcons, they're an underdog. First, the 49ers week two, when the 49ers are still going to be healthy, which is a big key. They'll be an underdog in that game. Then they start a stretch, four games in 17 days, at the Cowboys on Monday Night Football, then the Chiefs, at the Panthers, then the Buccaneers. That is brutal. And then after that, you get two road games, the Raiders and the Lions, the Chargers after that. That just looks like 2-6, you know, 3-7. I just think they're going to be buried. I'm not a big Hurts fan either. I mean, I watched him a lot in college. I never thought he was really an NFL quarterback. I mean, look, this is a guy that got benched in the title game against Georgia because he couldn't throw. They need better passing, so they benched him. I've never been a fan of his just as an NFL player. Thought he's more of a backup gimmick type player. So, brutal schedule, not high on the quarterback. I think this is an under. I think this is maybe a 5 or 6 win team.
They don't get their bye until week 14. Then they close with four straight games against division opponents, including twice against Washington. Weird schedule.
Well, it's so front-loaded, too, as he pointed out. I mean, confidence-wise, they could be, especially with Hurts as a young player, they could just be so behind the eight ball that the season's just over at that
point. Sure. Will?
Yeah, you start out slowly. You pack it in and say, you know what? It's not our year. We get ready for next year. So,
good talking to you again, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it, guys. VSiN.com/subscribe. Got to get the plug in.
There
College
you go.
Football betting guide's coming.
It is. Definitely. Coming. Yeah. Thanks, pal. Good luck today.
All right. See you guys.
Bye. Yeah, he's on Twitter as well at NotTheWillHill. Good Twitter handle.
Two E's, right?
Yes.
The.
Yes.
Do you say it that way? Do you pronounce the E?
Doesn't the have to be spelled, or shouldn't it always be spelled with two E's?
It should be, but it's not.
Or do you go T-H-E and, like, underline? That's, I don't know, it's so strange.
It's not like in the Ohio State University, which I've always hated as a Michigan.
The sports leader. It's spelled the. Up next, they better put $50 in a four-team cross-sport parlay. It pays $135,000. Three winners are in. What would you do? That's next.